new initiative called the Sport and Rights Alliance that the Human Rights Watch joined. So if you could elaborate a little bit on this campaign, your plans, and what is planned to come out of this in the run-up to the European Games.
So the Sports and Rights Alliance is, as you say, a new alliance of different sorts of organizations, human rights organizations like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, but also anti-corruption organizations like Transparency International Germany, development groups like Terres Hommes, but also other groups like the sports-related organizations like the Football Supporters European organization, which is a fans organization, and also an organization of soccer players, the World Players Union. So quite a broad range of organizations, and this is focused on improving human rights standards in the way mega sporting events are organized. So that covers the Olympics, that covers the World Cup in soccer, and then also events like the European Games. So that refers to issues such as the building of the stadiums, the working conditions in those construction phase, but also the human rights in the broader human rights context of the country which hosts mega sporting events, and of course press freedom issues in the way those events are reported when they are held, and of course issues around freedom of association, freedom of assembly, the right to protest before event and during events, and so on. So this is a new alliance bringing together these different organizations to raise the profile of these issues in a long-term way over the next few years.
What is the expectation to come out of this alliance?
I think the expectation is to have a more powerful voice internationally and a more influential voice with governments and with the International Olympic Committee and with FIFA to have more influence over the way these games are organized. There's been widespread allegations of corruption, for instance, to do with the IOC and to do with FIFA. We want to put corruption more clearly on the agenda, but also the issue of human rights standards, as I just mentioned, in terms of corrupt construction, in terms of rights associated with the games themselves, and so on. We feel a more united voice will bring more influence in bringing change.
Human Rights Watch has been real committed to the plight of human rights activists and defenders and journalists who've been jailed in Azerbaijan. What's your take overall on the situation?
Yeah, we feel the human rights situation in Azerbaijan is in a crisis phase. We saw that events worsened around the Eurovision Song Contest in 2012. But in fact, since then, the situation has become worse still. Since early to mid-2014, there's been a roundup of very senior figures from human rights movement, from among intellectuals and journalists and think tanks. The most prominent figures are now in jail or have fled the country. Combined with that, there's been much tougher, tighter restrictions on the activities of non-governmental organizations and limits on foreign funding reaching them. So it's very difficult, if not impossible, for many NGOs to operate any further because of restrictions on their registration or on their funding. And there's been a continual process of blemishing the names, as it were, of senior figures from the human rights movement and elsewhere by bringing bogus charges of drug possession or corruption against them, while in fact the charges that have been laid against them are clearly politically motivated. So the Azerbaijan government has broken its commitments, for instance, to the Council of Europe. Azerbaijan is a long-standing member of that body and has made commitments to that body to uphold international human rights standards, and it's a failing to do so. And we hope that the Azerbaijan government will take some steps ahead of the European Games, as this being an important watermark for the country, with such a high-profile sporting event to be held there in only a few weeks. We feel it's necessary for them to at least send a signal that they're recognizing that something needs to change on the human rights front if those games are going to be held in a credible, human rights-friendly atmosphere.
How do you find this whole argumentation that, Human Rights Watch or Freedom House or Amnesty International, they're are agents and they're trying to manipulate the people?
I think it's very clear also to the Azerbaijan authorities, to be honest, that organizations such as Human Rights Watch and Amnesty are international bodies which take their mandate from international human rights conventions and not from any government. Human Rights Watch, for instance, doesn't receive any government funding and is not influenced by any particular government policy. I'm sure Azerbaijan knows that. They just use this rhetoric to serve their own ends of creating a hostile climate within the country towards legitimate human rights work, not just by us ourselves, but of those who we work with closely on the ground in Azerbaijan. Just take a recent example. Our senior researcher, Georgi Gogia, tried to enter Azerbaijan on a routine visit last week to monitor two trials of two of the activists in prison in pretrial detention in Azerbaijan, and was held at the airport for 31 hours. Most of that time, very unclear whether he would be allowed in or not, or what the status was, or why he was being held. A clear abuse of his rights to enter the country. He had his paperwork in order. There was no reason for him not to be able to enter. And in the end, he had to return to Georgia, where he's based, on the next flight. So, I mean, this is a clear disrespect for the work of organizations like ourselves, and shows that their argumentation that somehow we are working closely with foreign governments is bogus, and it's just a rather defensive attempt by them to avoid international human rights scrutiny.
Can Western governments, European governments including, step up their criticism of the government and rather move from their usual rhetoric of, you know, statements of worry or statements of concern to grave concern into a more physical demand, and can in any way their criticism work in the run-up to European Games? So, for example, boycotting the Games or not sending delegations or being slightly more vocal than they usually are.
Certainly they can do so. They can be significantly more vocal both behind the scenes in their contacts with the Azerbaijan government and also publicly. It's important for governments, EU member states, for the EU itself, for the US and for other governments to send a clear public signal that Azerbaijan has crossed a red line by this crackdown on human rights organizations and on the rule of law, both to signal to other countries that they take these things seriously, but also to signal to the human rights and civil society community within Azerbaijan that the other countries are watching what's happening. So it's very important they take a public stance as well as behind closed doors. Diplomacy, they can take a whole range of steps. They can freeze negotiations on treaties and agreements which are being negotiated with foreign countries, such as the EU's ongoing negotiations with Azerbaijan on a new cooperation treaty. They can consider not allowing senior Azerbaijan officials involved with human rights abuses to travel to the EU. They can consider assets freezes of Azerbaijan officials' assets within the EU, for instance. Regarding the European Games, we don't call for a boycott of those games. Athletes have the right to and athletes and sporting organizations have a right to go ahead and hold those games. We do feel it's necessary, though, if government representatives attend, for instance, the opening ceremony of those games, they only do so on the basis of being willing to speak clearly on human rights in Azerbaijan, speak publicly on that issue, to talk to the Azerbaijan government about that issue, and potentially also to take a position on human rights, such as by visiting prisoners, human rights activists in prison, or by attending trials that are ongoing of human rights activists in prison. So there are a whole range of things which governments can do to signal their hostility, in a sense, towards the crackdown on human rights in Azerbaijan and to put pressure on Azerbaijan to change its policy. And we do feel that can be effective. We do feel that Azerbaijan, if it faced significant pressure, then it would change its behavior. We're also consulting with and drawing to the attention of European Olympic committees, German Olympic committee, the National Olympic committees, these issues, and they're expressing concern about human rights in Azerbaijan. So there's a growing chorus of concern about human rights in Azerbaijan. It's time that governments pick up on that chorus and act, prioritize human rights issues equally, if not more importantly, than other issues, which are legitimate, but which need to be ranked alongside human rights issues, such as energy policy, such as geopolitical issues, strategic issues, which are important for national governments and for the EU, but which should not overshadow considerations of human rights and the rule of law.
And what about backfiring? This amount of attention and this amount of awareness raising and sort of push to take different actions, you think that might backfire?
I wouldn't want to speculate on whether Azerbaijan would stop a sports delegation entering the country. In the past, Azerbaijan has sadly blocked human rights envoys entering the country. For a long time, they blocked a German envoy from the Council of Europe who was wanting to visit as part of his mandate on political prisoners in Azerbaijan.
Mm-hmm.
So Azerbaijan has a record of doing these things. As we've said, they blocked a senior human rights observer entering the country last week. I wouldn't
right.
want to speculate about what's going to happen in the future. If they did so, they would be drawing more attention to their own record of human rights abuses. So I think backfiring is we don't think about it in those terms. We think about it in terms of it's important for the international audience, for countries to recognize where Azerbaijan is on its human rights record,
mm-hmm.
and to raise those issues with Baku, and the Baku to take the right steps to right its human rights abuses and not strategize about what further abuses it can commit, for instance, by blocking the legitimate entry into the country by human rights monitors. You know, Azerbaijan is a country where pressure can work, and that the pressure, united pressure from something like the EU, is the main way where we will bring change on human rights. I think there needs to be a united, strong position by the EU, European Parliament as well, by the Commission, and through that method, a strong united voice can have leverage over Baku. A weaker voices will have less influence, we believe, on bringing change in Azerbaijan. The current visit yesterday and today of the Commissioner Hahn, Commissioner mm-hmm. for Enlargement in the EU, is important in delivering a strong united message from the European Union. And we believe visits like that can make a difference in terms of turning Azerbaijan around in terms of its human rights policy.